Welcome to Kaiseki Anime, where we air new episodes every other Monday. Kaiseki covers currently airing anime, older series seen recently, and other relevant topics for the season. I'm your host Marina of the blog Anime BNB, and with me is my co-host Draggle of the cleverly titled Draggle's Anime Blog.
This week, we discuss Adachi and Shimamura with guest Yotan. So welcome back, Yotan. Glad you could join us again.
Thanks, Dragula, and I'm really looking forward to discussing this one. I've been really enjoying Adachi and Shimamura this season.
Yes, me too. Because it has lesbians.
Is that your synopsis of the show, Draggle? Can you give like maybe a little bit more detailed of a summary?
I just wanted to clarify to Marina, who's been in denial about the lesbians in Elena recently.
I'm not in denial!
Sure. But there's the two girls, they go to school together, and one of them is a delinquent, which in America, she would not be called a delinquent. She'd be called like... what would she even be called? Just like someone who skips class.
A very slight delinquent?
Yeah,
a
very slight delinquent.
Why wouldn't you call that a delinquent here?
Why? I don't know. Delinquent, I think, like, doing drugs, shooting people, joining gangs.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Adachi is delinquent. She, like, skips class and plays ping pong.
Yes.
That's a nerd in America.
It's a two-person gang, a nerd gang.
Yes. But anyway, then she meets Shimamura, who also skips class with her. And then she thinks all day about Shimamura's beautiful thighs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are now.
Do you think that's a good summary, Hyun?
I think that's pretty good, although I feel like we should also mention the space alien. You know, that's kind of hanging around in the background.
I was intentionally avoiding the space alien.
Yeah. How do you fit that into the summary? Because I think she's... very oddly included in this show, but if you have a neat way of describing her in this show, go ahead.
I guess I would call Adachi and Shimamura kind of your everyday slow burn lesbian, I guess Yuri, slice of life that just also happens to have a time traveling space alien in the middle of it, moving mm-hmm. things along.
I think it's more like a romance than a slice of life.
That's true. Slow burn romance.
Why can't it be both? Because I think we've heard those arguments about whether or not slice of life is actually a genre as opposed to just describing, I guess, the tone of the show or the atmosphere.
I guess. But I think it's more like focused on their relationship than it is on what they do every day.
Like their everyday happenings?
Yeah.
That's true. I only mean it insofar as the things that they do are more or less just like everyday life things. There's no magic mm-hmm. or high tech or things like that. It's not really about adventuring so much as, well, maybe adventuring into the wide reaches of romance.
Yeah. Well, except for the flying alien.
Except for the alien, yeah.
Yes.
Didn't she fly or am I making this up?
No, she totally flew. She was totally floating around the little sister show or whatever.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that was abnormal.
Yeah, I don't get what's up with the alien. So she's from the other show by the same author, is that right?
Yes, so...
the other show?
So yeah. Adachi and Shimamura is by the author Hitoma Iruma, who's done kind of a lot of other light novels. One of them was Ground Control to Psychoelectric Girl, which is, I think, adapted by Shaft.
Yes.
And there's another Yashiro there, but Yashiro Hoshimiya is different from the other Yashiro.
The one in the other show is, like, the main character, right?
Yeah, but she's not an alien, though, right? I thought she was a regular girl. Like, isn't she sort of a hikikomori? Or, like, a girl who just... am I thinking about the right show?
I think you're thinking of the right
show. I think
girl,
that's right.
That might be Ario you're thinking of, the kind of the who also thinks she's an alien. The Yashiro in Denpo Ona, Ground Control Cyclo Electric Girl, may or may not be an alien, but this Yashiro is definitely an alien.
Definitely an alien. I mean, who has hair like that?
Which is kind of funny if you think about it. Like, the show where there might be alien... Ground Control Psychoelectric Girl, there might be psychic powers, but they're playing kind of coy, whereas here it's just, yeah, there's an alien, just deal with it.
Exactly.
I mean, she's thrown in there so casually, right? From even the very first episode, which I don't really know how you guys... were you fans of the show already by the first episode? Like, hooked immediately?
Not really. I thought that... because the first episode, it kind of ended with the alien, and I was like, what? But aside from the alien, I liked it.
Oh, yeah, it actually begins with it. Like, she's the very first thing you see.
Yeah. So I thought it would be like Denpo Una, and I'm really glad it wasn't.
I've never actually seen Denpo Una myself, but I have read another one of Kitomo's works regarding Sayaka Saiki, which is just light novels at the moment. And it's a spinoff of Bloom Into You, telling Sayaka Saiki's background, her recount of the Bloom Into You story itself, and then the later books go into kind of her future and who she meets.
Okay, so this author is like used to Yuri stuff.
Well, and this author seems to like sort of having cameos or name drops between her different works.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. Yashiro herself, I think, shows up in some other works that Iruma Hitomo has done, kind of strangely enough. So maybe the author just really likes Yashiro's concept.
I mean, I think she's a great character for her design. Like, I really love the way she looks. I just don't really understand how she really fits into the story. Maybe this is something we can talk about later when we sort of bring up how these characters have changed now versus what they were like as children, and then having the little sister is maybe a comparison to the older Shimamura. But again, that can be discussed later on. But otherwise, I don't really see the point of our alien girl unless we talk about it like that.
Yeah, I thought she was kind of a distraction too.
For the longest time, I thought of her as a distraction. I'm starting to feel a little bit more open to her now, but it took a while.
Yeah, to be honest, I can't keep track of all the friends either.
Really? I didn't think there were that many.
There's only two of them. Two main friends.
There's only two of them, yeah. Really?
Okay.
I mean, there's the two main that they eat lunch with or hang out with at school, right? That was Shimamura's friends and that Adachi has slowly become closer to.
These are the ones who, like, take baths together and...
Yeah, Hino and Nagafuji. They're like the side couple, okay. Right?
Yeah, Kira and Taiko. There's a little... That's one of them's kind of the slim kid, and then there's the larger one.
Yes.
Yeah. Glasses. And then you have, like, the little sister, and then you have the alien girl, and then you have Tarumi, who's, like, the childhood friend of Shimamura. There's not really anyone else.
Okay.
The parents, I guess, maybe,
they were just so non-memorable. I thought they were new characters every time I saw them.
Wow. Okay, well, like, you said that at the start, you were kind of not sure about the show, especially with the alien opening and closing the first episode. And I also kind of felt that way, which is why I put this on the back burner for several weeks until you were talking about it repeatedly. So, like, what changed your mind about liking the show?
I think it's just, like, a really good romance. Like, usually in the anime romances, you can't really figure out why the couple likes each other. At least I can't. I don't know, aside from, like, the girl is cute and the boy picked up her eraser from the floor, right? This one, you really get a sense of, like, how they both feel about each other. They talk about it a lot. And I thought it's kind of, like, more realistic than most of the romances.
Hmm. What about you, Hilton?
So I went into the series knowing that I'd probably like the author's works because of I really like Regarding Sayaka Saiki, and this has a lot of kind of similar things in there. It's a very thoughtful, kind of deliberately paced, very methodical thinking. Like Draggle said, it goes through every step, really, of what the different characters, Adachi and Shimamura, are thinking. And I think the light novel itself is also structured so that you get both of their points of view, and I think that was adapted really well into the anime, that way that you see what everyone's thinking at any time.
Yeah, I think you said it's, like, very deliberate. That's a great way to describe it.
Which, in other cases, I feel like if this was any other show, Drago, that you would actually say this is slow. But I suppose maybe you don't feel that way in this one because you actually see a little bit of the fruits of their work, their hard work, I guess.
Yeah,
you actually get to see her put her head on her lap. You actually get to see them hug each other and hold hands as opposed to maybe just thinking about it and agonizing about it and no movement forward.
Well, I don't mind them agonizing about it. It's just I want to see them agonize about something interesting, right? And I think here, like, it's slow and thoughtful and you see what they're thinking, but it's definitely not repetitive.
Okay.
There's slightly different things they're thinking about each episode. Like, it's, oh, what are we going to do for Valentine's Day? And, oh, how was it weird that I hugged her? Or that kind of thing.
Completely normal.
Yeah. Like, as an example, I really like the episode where she's like, oh, we're just friends. Friends normally want to hug each other, right? And it was like an episode of things like that. An episode of like, oh, friends just normally want to touch up each other's thighs.
Yeah, I think one of the things that the show does really well is that it like the characters have goals and those goals change, but it's always very clear what they want out of the relationship, even if they're kind of lying to themselves, like Adachi does early on about how, well, it's normal for me to want to kiss Shimura because my feelings for her are pure. And then that kind of evolves into, no, I actually want to like start taking the relationship to the next level. But it's all out there, which I think a lot of anime just kind of skips over because they're busy doing other things. Whereas here, the relationship is the main thing that's going on.
Exactly.
Okay. So why don't we like rewind a little bit, because something that you said caught my interest was, now, at the start of the show, Adachi was the one who was sort of seen as the more mysterious one, right? Like, that's what all the friends say, mm-hmm. and people don't really know her very well, right? And Shimamura seems to be, like, the more outgoing, well-liked one, right?
Yeah.
But then, like, as the show's going along, their positions seem to have sort of swapped, right? Where, especially for us viewers, Adachi seems to be the more transparent one. What she wants is always very apparent. Maybe that's because we're always seeing it from her point of view. But she seems like very open with her feelings and what she wants. But Shimamura, who actually is the more mysterious one, like you said that it's very clear what they want, but do you feel that way about Shimamura? Do you know what she wants?
Well, if you watch episode 10, then yes.
Okay. All right. I've only seen up at episode 9 to make that clear for our reviewers.
No, you bring up a really good point, Marina, which is that Adachi is initially kind of more mysterious, but her goals are pretty similar. It's just about her admitting really to herself that she likes Shimamura. So her journey is a little simpler. All she has to do, you know, is go through the romance itself. What Shimamura wants out of the relationship isn't really perfectly clear to Shimamura at the start in episode 1. For example, she says she doesn't really trust change because she doesn't really want the relationship to go somewhere else. And she's kind of questioning, you know, whether or not she's being a delinquent because she likes being a delinquent, or whether or not she just likes Adachi. But I think what is clear to Shimamura at first is that she herself wants social contact. It's just that it's very tiring for her to do so. It takes a lot of mental effort for her.
Hmm.
So, and I think that's what I mean by it being clear about what they want. Even if Shimamura can't really figure out the levels of what she wants exactly out of the relationship, it is clear that she herself feels that there's this need to try and have some other social contact.
I guess I was originally seeing, again, this is someone who was only sent to episode 9, so if there was some big revelation in like 10 or 11, then I don't know about it. But I was more seeing Shimamura's socializations as something that she does out of obligation. Because if I recall, she's mused in the past over how like disconnected she feels from everything and how she feels like she needs to continue making these connections with people, or else she'll just quote unquote like fade away. And so I wasn't sure that's actually something that she wanted.
Yeah, there's an inherent contradiction going on with Shimamura. I think she looks at a comic book one time, which kind of in the show, which kind of summarizes it, which is that it's a lot of work to keep up these relationships,
right?
But she does derive something from it. She can't really exist without it. So it's about managing those two things, and she doesn't really hold on to relationships. For example, like Adachi notes that if it wasn't for Adachi keeping up the relationship, basically, by continually pursuing her, Shimura would probably just find something else to latch on to. But I think that's one of the things Shimamura appreciates about Adachi, which is that she really seems to appreciate Adachi's energy in keeping the relationship up.
I mean, she's that friend that I think is very necessary for any group of friends, really, large or small group. You need that person who is active and is planning things out and keeps everyone else sort of engaged, right? Otherwise, if no one has that, then things just fall apart, don't they? People just lose connection, or they just sort of spread apart, kind of like what happened with Shimamura and Tarumi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the Tarumi relationship is really interesting because Shimamura notes that, you know, she herself used to be a lot more energetic, and that Tarumi was kind of in some ways a lot like Adachi. Apparently in the light novels, there's actually kind of a funny note when the first time she ruminates about Tarumi, which is that she's thinking about this childhood friend, and she explicitly notes to the reader, note, this person was not Adachi. I remember her name.
Huh.
Just so it's clear that the childhood friend is definitely going to lose in this scenario.
Holy crap. Well, really, I just find Shimamura a very interesting character. I like Adachi. Like, she's cute, I guess. But You know, when she described herself as a puppy, I was like, wow, you really described yourself well. I feel like you're a puppy too. But Shimamura is the one who I find to be more complex and interesting because I want to know. I mean, people change naturally as they grow up, right? Whatever they experience in life shapes them, changes how they were. And a lot of us are different than what we used to be like as children. But people, like multiple characters seem to have noted that Shimamura has changed. She says it herself from when she was a child. And I kind of wonder, what was the reason for that? Did they ever reveal that?
I don't believe so explicitly. I have seen an interesting view of it, of the show, which is that both characters are neurodivergent in kind of different ways. I think Adachi could be, Adachi herself could be placed on the spectrum because, you know, she has a lot of problems socializing, prefers to be by herself, kind of has awkward ways to communicate and physical expressions. Shimamura herself, I would say, has some aspects of ADHD because she has trouble kind of focusing on things, especially like, I'm not sure if you got to the episode yet, but she has trouble with paying attention to people's names, paying attention to what people say. She really has to kind of focus on the interactions needed for those relationships.
Yeah, when she couldn't remember Tarumi's nickname, right? When the girl's like, hey, do you remember what you used to call me? And she just couldn't.
Yeah, I was actually thinking the same thing as I watched this. And I think that kind of explains Shimamura's not keeping up with her relationships as well. Like, she'll be friends with someone if they're in their class, but then she just doesn't have like that focus to keep things going afterwards.
Wait, so when you say neurodiversity, is this just like a personality thing, or do you think that she actually has some sort of learning disability or something? I don't know how else to phrase it.
Some sort of, I guess, condition. I don't think it's a learning disability per se, because it's not like...
I wasn't quite sure how to define it. I don't know what it's called, but...
Yeah, I would probably have to... this is kind of just a kind of, you know, an off-the-cuff diagnosis. But I do think it's kind of interesting because I do know that, for example, Japan doesn't have a lot of mental health resources. I think there's still kind of a stigma with it. So putting those concepts inside the story without really naming them is kind of an interesting way to do it. I do think that a lot of their behavior can be explained just by, you know, developing these things as they get older, the conditions manifesting themselves. So it's not like there's a specific event needed to cause anything. It's just kind of this is how they develop.
Yeah, it's also, I guess, interesting to me to compare her to her sister, her little sister, right? Because it sounds like maybe that's what she was like.
Yeah.
And then I wonder, you know, is this something that's going to affect her little sister when she gets older? Or will she remain unaffected and remain pretty much how she is? And then given her little sister's very good friendship, it seems, with Alien Girl, I was just wondering, how does Alien Girl fit into this? I feel like she's some sort of metaphor for Shimamura. I just haven't quite put enough thought into it to figure out what.
Oh, for Yashiro is a metaphor for Shimamura?
Yeah, like something of her childhood and like how close that the alien girl has become with the little sister. And given that that's like sort of representative of what Shimamura used to be like when she was younger, I wasn't sure if there was some sort of explanation that could be made there.
Yeah, so Yashiro is really interesting because I think a lot of people had trouble explaining or placing her into the narrative about why Hitomi Aruma felt that it was necessary to include her. Aside from the fact that she's just kind of fan service for his other series, I think Yashiro is actually kind of central to the narrative because she, along with a lot of other things in the story, really emphasized kind of the freedom, the exploration, not being subject to society's rules and kind of being independent from that. So if you think about the story, you start off with these delinquents who don't really fit into school.
Skip class.
Yeah, they kind of rebel in kind of safe ways, like riding bikes.
Yeah, they're on the outskirts of it, right? They don't go to class regularly. They don't really, like, join any clubs or anything afterward.
And so the space metaphor that they keep using, so for example, when Adachi's thinking about Shimamura, her thoughts are kind of going off into space and you see the universe, I think it's like, it represents kind of the exploration of their feelings, looking into the unknown, you know, the kind of the excitement, the thrill of finding new things out about other people. So Yashiro herself, you know, she's a time traveler. She can change her face. She's building her face when you first meet her.
Yeah, that was interesting.
She seems to be able to summon items from her pockets kind of at will. She kind of goes where she wants. So she represents that free spirit, I think, that the girls kind of are searching for but aren't really sure how to get.
Right.
And also, she kind of serves to kind of kickstart the plot in various ways. When nothing else works, she's kind of the sci-fi element, kind of the chaotic spirit that moves the story along.
That's true.
One other thing, I think there's a scene that's really interesting in a later episode. I think it's the latest. It's 12 or 11. So Tarumi actually does meet Yashiro, and Tarumi instantly nopes out. She's like, I'm out of here.
What? Why?
That's what I would do.
Okay. Well,
so, you know, like, Tarumi is still stuck in the past, right? She's still obsessed with the girl from her childhood.
Oh, I didn't know that. Because I only just met her, I wasn't realizing that she was going to continue on as a character. I thought we closed the door in episode 9.
Oh, yeah, no, she's hanging around.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that, but it's kind of a side note. Did you guys watch Bloom Into You?
I know I did, but I'm just having a hard time recalling the characters in the story.
Me too.
So there's a main couple, you and Toko, but there's also a third, kind of a third wheel named Sayaka Saeki, who
Irumi, the third wheel.
Yeah, who Irumi Hitomo also wrote about. And so she was played by Ai Kayano, who is also playing Tarumi. So, you know, if you need a lesbian in love who's doomed to yearn after one of the main girls forever, Ai Kayano is your woman.
Okay, I looked up Bloom Into You, and I remember. This is the one with that, like, tall girl with the long black hair and the short girl with the red hair.
And rather famously, the tall black-haired girl locks the other girl in, a shed to make out.
Okay, I have not seen this. I just recognize the name.
It makes sense in context. It was a somewhat controversial scene at the time.
I feel like maybe I watched the first episode and I must have dropped it.
How do I not remember that part?
But I have definitely seen Denpa Ono, so.
Wait, and it only came out like a year ago. Oh my god.
Yeah, 2018.
Oh no, 2 years ago.
Time flies.
Okay.
So Yashiro is really interesting because on the surface of it, she doesn't fit into the romance at all. But the ideas that Yashiro kind of exemplifies are kind of present throughout the entire series. So I think she's a really interesting character to look at.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate you going into that, where she, you know, she comes from, what her history is with this writer, and then also, you know, how she definitely represents a lot of that freedom, because I was seeing some of that too, and I would have thought it a shame for general viewers to just shrug her off, you know, to just think of her as some, like, strange magical entity and not go past that.
I shrugged her off.
Uh-huh.
I think Adachi did too. She just kind of... It's interesting seeing the different impressions that...
The way they treat her differently,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. Like, you know, Shimamura is very motherly and kind of tolerant.
Yeah.
She gets exasperated, but seems to put up with her shenanigans, whereas Adachi, when she meets her, is kind of mystified and then, like, tries to beat her in a bowling.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. Well, I think she's jealous. That's why she was doing that.
Imagine being jealous of, like, a 13-year-old girl who thinks she's a space alien.
Yeah, I don't know. I think she's just wanting the attention of Shimamura.
Yeah.
And then Shimamura's sister, Sho, well, they call her Sho, but she's never actually named, of course, you know, is very good friends with her.
Of course. Just friends.
Definitely just friends. And then the Shimamura's mom, like, sees Yashiro floating and is like, well, that's an interesting trick.
She doesn't really look past that either.
Yeah. I feel like she would bother me less if it was in a novel and I didn't have to see her face or listen to her annoying voice.
Well, because she really does stick out, right? And unless you're willing to, like, really bend backwards, I guess, or not even, not so much, but just think about her in more of that metaphorical representative sense, she just doesn't fit, right? Like, the way she looks with her glowing hair, the way she floats around, she doesn't wear clothes that are seasonal, and I can see why people don't like her.
Yeah, and every time I see her hair, I think of Denpa Ono.
Yeah, same.
Which was not any good.
I've never actually seen that. I guess I'll have to at some point.
Nah, you don't have to. You
don't have to. I don't remember it being remarkable, but I don't think it was terrible, Draggle.
Oh,
it was just
bad.
Filling the space of a slow season, probably. I don't even remember.
Yeah, well, and it's by Shaft, so it's like every other Shaft show.
Well, and then it'll be eye candy. Right, at least you'll have lots of head tilts. It's fine.
There were lots of head tilts. And I think it was very heterosexual, from what I recall.
Probably. Yeah. I think so.
There's like a boy.
I'm talking about like the head tilts and those kinds of visual cues. Like, what do you guys think about the visuals here? There's a lot of close-up shots of our characters.
Those beautiful thighs.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, I think reviewers initially were kind of surprised that there were so many shots of the girls' bodies, their thighs and legs.
Why? Like, why were they surprised, I guess?
I think they were expecting something a little more chaste, to be honest.
Okay.
I think their impression of Adachi Shimomura was that because it's a slow burn, because it's kind of takes a while and the pace is so slow, like, they're not expecting to kind of getting these shots. Although, I don't know if the shots are really supposed to be as titillating as they are. They are supposed to be meaningful, I think, because a lot of the story is about Adachi admiring Shimomura's physical features. So I think if you actually took those away, you would lose some of the impact about getting inside her head.
Yeah, right. Definitely makes sense for the Shimomura shots when it's an Adachi viewpoint episode.
I mean, regardless if this is heterosexual or not, I mean, if you are romantically interested in someone, oftentimes, very, very often, it's because you're also physically attracted to them, right? And so, like, that is a way to reflect their feelings for one another, is to focus on what they're focusing on, right?
Yeah. Oh, a random note. So in the light novel, apparently so you may remember in the show that Adachi is watching Shimomura strip in front of her in, like, a dream sequence.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of off-put by those, but yeah, go ahead.
So in the light novel, Adachi was the one who was stripping Shimomura.
So it's been tamed down.
Yeah, so there's kind of an interesting it's interesting to see the different interpretation that this director might have had about who is in control of the relationship or what wants.
Adachi was the one stripping Shimomura in the light novel. So she was the one removing Shimomura's clothing?
Right, in the dream sequence to kiss her.
Versus what we see in the anime where it's just Shimomura doing it herself?
Right, where Adachi is thinking whether or not she wants to kiss Shimomura, and the dream Shimomura is stripping for Adachi. I thought that was an interesting interpretation by the director about what Adachi thinks of the relationship and what kind of person she wants Shimomura to be for her.
I wonder why they made that change. Like, is there a definite difference in tone between the original work and the anime of, like, who is in control and who's driving the, I guess, romantic side of the story?
I'm not sure about that. I will say that Adachi being a dog, I think, fits that a little better. She wants she wants Shimomura the master.
Yeah, the dream sequences are interesting. I don't know. I don't think I like them, but it's not saying that they're unrealistic or anything.
I thought they were good.
I think there's a lot of...
Of course you did.
I think there's a lot of creativity going on in there. The animation itself is not always, you know, very elaborate or even fluid. And sometimes they look off model, but the storyboarding, the imagery being used is all very, very unusual. I think, like, in the first episode, for example, when they go bike riding and there's, like, the water and the cloud effects, I thought that all looked very good. And then whenever Adachi goes on one of her flights of fancy, for example, I think it's all very, very well designed.
Yeah, overall, the show does look good. I think I do like watching it for its visuals as well.
Yeah, it's not really, like, shiny visuals so much as just well thought out.
I mean, there is shiny hair and there are shiny thighs.
Yeah, those are the worst parts, the shiny hair.
But the shiny thighs, like...
Oh, I approve.
You approve of that, yes, yes.
Strangely, I think the characters who have shown the most skin by now are the friends, Akira and Taiko, because of the bath scenes.
Yeah, episode 10 was
pretty wild. Yeah, what do you think about their inclusion?
So to kind of explain what's going on with them, in the light novel, their sections are relegated to the end as kind of bonus chapters.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Whereas here they're kind of more in the middle. And I think that's kind of an interesting way to do it, because in a novel, for example, you'll be going there to kind of read at your own pace, and you'll want to get the bulk of the plot and then, like, you know, get the comic relief at the very end. Whereas here, when you're watching it, I think putting it in the center kind of breaks up the action intentionally so that you aren't just... If the romance is bogging down, for example, you don't want your viewers to just kind of be stuck there. They can't skip it. So you need some way to kind of break the tension.
That's a good point. I wouldn't say that I honestly felt like the tension in their romance in the main characters was ever so strong that I felt like I needed relief. I usually find, like, the scenes with our little alien girl is more, like, unnecessary and as a distraction. And then I tend to find, like, the friends thing kind of out of place. So I would have actually preferred, because there are shows, like anime shows, where they still do, like, a little silly thing after the end credits, right? Like, I think I would have been fun with them doing that here. But I'm not, like, I don't hate them. I didn't think it was necessary. What about you, Drago?
I got pretty tense in some of the parts where, like, Adachi does something embarrassing. And you're like, oh gosh, what is Shimomura going to think about this stupid thing Adachi did?
What is that crazy Adachi up to now?
Yeah.
Yeah, she has some interesting the way she phrases things, that girl doesn't really, like, think very much about what she says before she says it. Or, like, when she, like, pretty much assaults Shimamura trying to, like, grab her hand and then, like, yanks her fingers. That's just so awkward.
Exactly.
Yeah, she has a lot of awkward physical mannerisms.
Yeah.
But I don't think the friends added too much. Like, as I said before, I kind of forgot who they were every time they showed up.
What?
I know, okay. I know. I'm losing my attention span in my old age.
You're like Shimamura.
Yeah, I might be neurodivergent a little bit.
I think it doesn't help that, kind of intentionally in the story, Shimamura herself isn't terribly attached to them, especially not in the same way that she is to Adachi. So her mental processes don't really center on them. I myself kind of liked Akira and Taiko a lot, just kind of a change of pace, since their personalities are so different from Adachi and Shimamura. But yeah, I can see how, it kind of like with Yashiro, there'd be a question of, like, why are these people here in my show?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I agree with you that I do like them. And they do make for a very interesting comparison to Adachi and Shimamura. Because unlike those two, Nagafuji and Hino are pretty comfortable, right? They just seem so natural in the way they act around one another. There's, like, none of that awkward physical or verbal exchange. They just fit into it so comfortably.
I'm really curious what you'll think of about their bath scene in episode 10.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it probably is just as natural as all of their other interactions, but maybe I'm wrong.
It was very natural, which is what's so disturbing about it. But
Kino definitely has a type, and the type looks exactly like Nagafuji.
Okay, I think I'm ready to watch it.
I guess it's kind of a quick comment on Terumi. It's interesting how Terumi gets used, because she's doomed. Her name's not in the title. And she's kind of used as a way to kind of illustrate how different Shimamura's relationship is with Adachi as opposed to other people, even like with a childhood friend who is interested in her. So Shimamura herself consciously appreciates the energy that Adachi puts into the relationship, but that isn't enough. She needs that special thing that only Adachi has that Terumi can't supply.
Yeah, and you definitely see that in episode 10.
Thank you for dancing around the details so I am not spoiled by this wonderful development.
Also, I remember seeing on Reddit a lot of comments that they were afraid that love triangles are going to slow down the show.
What?
It's more like a love line, really.
Oh, so I don't have to worry about that, because I was actually also concerned. When I saw Tarumi, I was thinking, oh no, let's not go with a triangle, please.
No, it's not going with the triangle.
That's actually such a relief to hear. Just because that just seems to be like what every romance has to do. They just have to throw that in somewhere.
Unless you get a really good romance like Gamers, where you get a hexagon or something.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't need that either.
So anyway, yeah, so if you like Adachi and Shimamura's other shows I could recommend, I think Bunny Girl Senpai actually was pretty similar in that it was also a heterosexual romance with a lot of sci-fi elements. Kind of to keep things interesting.
Yeah, but that show was fantastic.
And that was also, you know, very deep on the psychology and relationships of the characters. Mm-hmm. Bloom Into You, as I mentioned, that another that's Yuri as well. And I think Liz and the Bluebird is actually kind of similar in a lot of ways to Adachi and Shimamura with the...
Oh, yeah. I watched that show last month, and it was so good.
Mm. Wait, where is that? I don't remember that one airing.
Yeah, it's a movie.
Oh, it's a movie.
It's like Hibike Euphonium spinoff.
And you can get into it without knowing much about Euphonium. I've never seen an episode, but I saw the movie and loved it.
Oh, well, I love Euphonium, so I'm sure I'll love Liz and the Bluebird as well.
Yeah, it's really good.
So once again, thank you, Kyoten, for joining us to talk about Adachi and Shimamura.
My pleasure. Honored to be here.
And follow Yotan on Twitter at Yotan1, is that right?
Yep, Yotan1 on Twitter.
Tune in again to Kaiseki Anime Podcast 2 weeks from now. Please feel free to send us questions or comments on Twitter with hashtag Kaiseki Anime Podcast, or on our individual accounts at Draggle_Coon and at AnimeBMB.
Listen and review us on Apple Podcast so we can continue to grow and improve. You can also find us on Google Play and Spotify. Thanks for listening. See you next time.